See you there. It is I, Dr. Thaddeus Rusty Venture, and this is an intro to True Blue Riffcast with Jeremy and Dave. Riffing about riff tracks and bad movies, such as The Godfather, Citizen Kane, and The Devil Wears Prada. Rusty. Yes, I'm sorry to interrupt, but those are all good movies. In fact, great movies. Well, James, did you ever hear of a little expression called Eye of the Beholder? Well, yes, yes, but there's such a thing as truth, and you're not being very truthful. I disagree! What is truth? What is true blue? What is a riffcast? These are questions. They are questions. Look, why don't we just try a second take? All right. Hello, it is I, Dr. Thaddeus Rusty Venture, and this is an intro to True Blue Riffcast. Riffing about bad movies! Such as Back to the Future, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and Cannibal Run. No, no, this I can't accept this. I mean, I'm not going to say Cannibal Run is great, but it's certainly good of its genre. And what genre is that? A film Twitter? What? Look, don't call me that, first of all. A rollicking, frolicking 70s road comedy, I guess? Fair enough, James. Fair enough. All right, well, I think that's enough intros. Perhaps we should do an outro now. What do you say? Indeed. Thank you for coming to True Blue Riffcast. Sit back, relax, enjoy the cast.
Hey, thank you, James and Dr. Rusty Venture. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one riff tracks podcast in the world. I am Jeremy, and I am joined, as always, by...
What's up? I'm Dave. I was just on my Twitch channel playing some Mind Creeper, and I was like, oh no, we got to do the podcast and talk about Spy High. So I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited. Right. It's very bomb diggity, as the Gen Zers say.
Bomb diggity.
It's very bomb diggity. It's not sus or cringe.
Oh, Dave.
I'm yo, yiggity yo. I hope my teen pregnancy isn't an issue, as Juno says.
Oh, Dave. Dave. Hey, Citizen Yearn.
It's overwhelming.
The
excitement's overwhelming.
Those of you who are eagle-eyed may notice some new minor set dressing I have here. This is a non-inflated Rift Tracks volleyball sent to me by friend of the podcast, Josh Flowers.
Thanks, Josh.
Pins that I don't have or didn't have, and a Rift Tracks bumper sticker. Oh, and the Space Mutiny can koozie, which I have out on my shelf with all my Rift Tracks stuff in the living room. But
I want presents. What is this?
Hey, only the best for the number one Rift Tracks fan.
I suppose. My goodness. I'm just kidding. We love you, Josh.
So what's going on, Dave? Anything fun and exciting in the land of Utah?
Well, I ran out of windshield wiper fluid.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, so I was like, got to go put some windshield wiper fluid in it. And I reached down here to pull on the hood release, you know, the lever, and it goes, tong! Like, that's not good. And of course, my hood is the cable that opens my hood is broken. So I had to take it up to the place, not the dealership, because I don't trust those people. You know why?
Yeah.
And the guy who is just right up the street here by the farmhouse is like, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. So I just like hooked a little switch up here in front of your grill on the outside and hit it. So just pull on that and you have to go to the dealership to order a part. And I was like, but I hate those people. He's like, we can't order it. They can only order it at the thing. And I'm like,
that's awful. Citizen Yarn wants to know who cursed your car. Somebody did.
I don't know, man.
You've had nothing but issues with that thing.
It's not that it really isn't that bad since the biggest thing
with the engine dying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
we
not
don't
bad.
Talk about that.
No. work's been fine. It's been pretty slow. Nothing good worth seeing right now.
But you know what I heard? You know what I heard, Jeremy. You know what I heard is really good. Is really good and everyone's gonna rush to see it. It's this little movie called Madman Web.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you may be mistaken. The review embargo lifted today and I was reading some of the stuff. And you guys, these reviews are brutal. They are brutal. Some of the Let me pull up some of the quotes.
We've seen some bad movies.
Let me pull up some of the quotes. I don't know why it's showing my cursor over the camera. That's really weird. But let's see. So far, we've got somebody saying it's worse than the 2003 Daredevil with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. We've got somebody saying that Madam Web makes Morbius look like the Dark Knight.
Well...
Which that one's,
but my that sounds my, like hyperbole to me.
My favorite. This one comes from Rolling Stone. There's actually a lot to this. I'm gonna read you this whole blurb, and you'll catch the part that really like got my attention. Madam Web isn't as bad as its somewhat botched promotional campaign might suggest. It is in fact way worse. A genuine Chernobyl-level disaster that seems to get exponentially more radioactive as it goes along. This detour to one of the dustier corners of Marvel's content farm is a dead end from start to finish. It is the cats of superhero movies.
Oh, okay. Come on now. Think about what you're saying, Rolling Stone. I'm serious.
That's something that you can't take back.
That is a bold statement, Rolling Stone. It's a
very bold statement because as far as I'm concerned, Cats is the worst movie.
I'm tempted to go see this just so I can put eyeballs on it and we can talk about it on the podcast. No promises.
Yeah, it does go a little bit more past this, and I want to read this because this is still pretty good. Not a single decision seems of sound mind. Not a single performance feels in sync with the material. Not a single line reading feels as if it hasn't somehow been magically auto-tuned to subtract emotion. The sole amazing factor of this Spider spinoff is that someone somewhere signed off on actually releasing it. And then they end with calling it the Showgirls of comic book cinema. So we got, they're comparing it to Cats and Showgirls. That's not a good sign.
That is shocking. That is a shocking statement.
This other one says that it's a new low for superhero debacles. At least Catwoman believed in what they were making. They were wrong, but Madame Web feels like a cynical copy of the bare minimum to qualify as a comic book movie.
Does it? What's the name of the chick that's in it? Dakota something? Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Johnson, I think.
I know it's not Dakota. Yeah, Dakota. She's the girl that gets her bottom smacked in the 50 Shades of Grey trailer, and is really turned on by getting smacked on the bottom by the Dom. Those movies look so disgusting. I've never seen them, but I think that's like the only thing I know this chick from. Madman Web.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. I mean, I'll probably watch it just because I can watch it for free at work. But
I mean, if 50 Shades is your thing, like I'm not. That's
no,
not a judgment.
I mean, Madam Web, Dave, not 50 Shades. Oh. I'm not gonna watch that.
No, I'm just saying for anybody out there who is like, you know, I don't want to get comments in on Apple. Thing, you know, from some Gen Zer, you're like, why are you movie shaming? I don't know. It's what we do here on the True Blue Riffcast. But if 50 Shades is your thing, it's your thing. We can still be friends.
Oh man. Well, you know what? Let's.
I like her hair though.
Let's take a look at the weekend box office real quick.
Okay.
I have the tab open somewhere. Here it is. All right. Another awful weekend for the movies.
Jeez.
This is Argyle. Your industry. I know. It's awful. Argyle was the number one movie this weekend, making $6.2 million. Lisa Frankenstein opened at number two. The Beekeeper hanging out at number three. Wonka at four. Migration still at five.
Lisa Frankenstein looks like at least it might be a fun time.
Yeah, I want to watch that one. Of course, we're definitely going to get a little bit of a pick-me-up this summer. I don't know if you saw it, Dave, but they did release the trailer for the only MCU movie that's coming out this year.
That's fine.
Deadpool and Wolverine. It is already the most watched trailer of all time on YouTube. I'm very excited for it. I'm a huge Deadpool fan, so I've been waiting for this one for a while.
I haven't seen either of the first two.
They're fun. I mean, it's not obviously, you know, it's Fox, but they make jokes about that.
Thank you for not freaking out.
What?
When I told you that I haven't seen either Deadpool movie, thank you for not freaking out.
Nothing that you say that you haven't seen at this point will surprise me. So
okay,
I'm beyond that now, Dave. Argyle was,
but I've seen Cypher in the snow.
Snow. Yeah, so not a whole lot going on in the box office yet. But hey, you know what? We did get a synopsis for a new movie coming out that you might be interested in.
Oh.
Okay. A little.
Is it a James Wan movie?
A little film known as Sea Rising, made by the one and only James Wan.
Knew it.
So this is about Jeff.
All right, lay it on me.
It's about Jeff, a middle-aged surfer who lives in a house by the sea. A life-threatening catastrophic storm is moving toward his house. Will surfer evacuate or stay at his house?
There you go. I thought his name was Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff, a middle-aged surfer.
But you just okay, say it again. Read the whole thing again.
Okay. Sea Rising. Jeff, a middle-aged surfer who lives in a house by the sea. A life-threatening catastrophic storm is moving toward his house. Will surfer evacuate or stay at his house?
Will surfer. Not
Will surfer is a much better name than Jeff. Maybe Will surfer.
That's like something we would call him if we didn't know what his name was on this show.
Will Surfer.
So Surfer, yeah. If you go back and you listen to our episode, we rarely know the names of the characters in these movies.
Oh, yeah. No.
We always assign them some crazy name.
Because they're never worth remembering.
Yeah.
Like today's movie, I remember one name
from
it.
Oh, I don't remember any of the names.
And I only remember
I watched it 4 hours ago.
I watched it 2 hours ago, so I only remember one name, and it's just because of... Oh, no, it's not even that. Never mind. I don't even think that's right.
I remember one name, and it's only because of a girl I was in love with 20 years ago, Valerie.
One of my favorite lines. I'm just gonna jump
that.
This now
I can
because
say
I can.
I can say that because I know there's a 10,000% chance that Valerie is not watching this or will listen to this podcast. So
they do make
life
a joke
on.
About the name Valerie, in regards to a certain celebrity named Valerie. But we'll get to that in time, because now I guess it's time for a new version of Name That Jeremy.
Yeah, so we've been tinkering with the format of our little game here. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, last episode, Jeremy was going to be like, okay, it's one riff, and if you guess it on the first try, you get a perfect score. So there's like five quotes, and I got it on amazingly. I still don't know how I did it. Amazingly, I got a perfect score on that one. So I came up with this one. It's called Versus Battle for Name That Jeremy. And here's how it goes. It's two riffs, two movies. Okay? No clues, six quotes. All right? And they're going to be from one movie or the other movie. They could be all from one movie. It could be an even split. It could be any combination. It could be 4-2. It could be 5-1. I guess those are the only combinations, but it could be any of them. And I think you're gonna like the versus battle that we have here. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, cool. So on the versus battle, this one is Dancing It's On versus Attack of the Super Monsters.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Are you ready? Okay. So and that remember there are no clues. And he has a 50% chance. So even if he has no idea which one it could be, he's like just a 50% chance. Shot in the dark, he's got a 50% chance of getting it. So
I just guess after each one which one it's from, right?
Yeah, it's either Dancing It's On or Attack of the Super Monsters.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the first one. The first one is, I hope no ambulance is needed to use that road.
Dancing It's On.
That's from Dancing It's On. Did you know that one, sir?
Yes, that's from when they're all dancing down the middle of the street.
Yeah, dancing in the street. Okay.
It hasn't all right, been that long since I watched this one. I watched it 2 months ago, maybe with my 14-year-old or 15-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, but yeah, she really liked it. So
you might get a perfect score on this then.
Uh-oh.
See, like when I was gathering quotes, I just wanted to watch both these movies. I forgot how
they're both so good. They're both so good.
Next one. Okay, so you're one for one. What's that What's that? Is somebody hiding back there? I like to go all the way across town and shout that into alleys.
Dancing it on.
Nope, that is Attack of the Super Monster, sir.
All right.
A little girl chased a rat with a broom all day long.
See, that one, it's been a little bit longer since I've seen, so.
Yeah.
That sounded like it could have fit in either one, though.
Yeah. No, I was trying to go for that here, but there's one you're definitely going to get, or at least I hope you will. All right, here's the next one. I hope you like Settlers of Catan, dickweed.
I'm going to say, wow. I was almost confident for half a second there, and then I went, wait a second. God, I don't remember which one that's from. I don't think it's that one. I'm just going to say my first guess was Attack of the Super Monsters.
It is Attack of the Super Monsters. Okay, so you're 2 for 3.
That was my gut instinct, so.
Okay. All right. Here we go, number 4. Very easy to see his picture under the headline "Boyfriend Wanted for Questioning."
Dancing it's on.
That is Dancing it's on. So that's you're 3 for 4. Ooh. The next one is, you go and do what you were born to do. Trade the family cow for a handful of beans.
I'm gonna say Dancing it's on for that one too.
That is Dancing it's on. So you're, oh my gosh, you're 4 for 5.
4 for 5, not and bad. I'll take it.
And, well, no, there's one more.
I know, it's not bad, though.
Okay. So this one is, you're too soft-hearted. I'm going to have to talk to Michael about this myself.
Attack of the Super Monsters.
That is Attack of the Super Monsters. So you're 5 for 6. Good job.
Woo! Not bad.
Not good bad
overall,
at all.
Good overall score. I'll take it. I will definitely take it. I would have been happy with 4 out of 6, so.
Yeah.
I like that. We talked about both these.
We talked about both these movies when they came out. That's how long we've been doing the podcast. And I just want to. I want to like. Is there a way we can like do like? Let's do another episode about Attack of the Super Monsters, because man, I don't even remember that episode. It was like 5 years ago. But
I mean, I'm sure we could. Did we actually do like a full on episode about it, or did we just talk about it at our end of the year?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Let me look at that real quick.
Hot Google search action, everyone.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my podcast master list if I can find it. Hello, where did you go?
When was the last time you updated that thing?
It's been a while. But I really thought that it had been more recent than... Oh, there it is. I went down too far. Let's search.
Everybody listening on the podcast later on, like Spotify or Apple
they're
gonna
Podcasts.
They're going to
be like,
what is happening? Why don't they talk about... I came here to listen about Spy High.
Okay, we did not talk about Attack of the Super Monsters by itself as a movie. So we're going to have to do that soon.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. That's crazy to me.
But today, instead of talking about something like that, we're going to be talking about
instead of
Spy
talking about
High.
Something that's like super interesting and has a great personality, we're going to talk about something that has... it has a personality, but its personality is that it's defined by lameness.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we have a new chatter. Been listening to the podcast that I try the Twitch stream. Well, hey, thanks for popping
in
and hanging out
with us. Somebody who listens to our podcast?
You get to see the magic live. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm
not one of our regulars.
I'm always wondering about the people that listen to our podcast. And I was like, I wonder who they are. And now we know one of them.
Yeah.
It's great.
So we got Spy High today, also known as Task Force 2001.
That title makes no sense.
Well, neither does Spy High. I mean, like, Spy High gives me, like, an off-brand version of something like Sky High. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It was a live-action Disney movie made sometime in the early 2000s, maybe mid-2000s, with Kurt Russell and Bruce Campbell and a bunch of other people in it. One of the kids in the hall is in it. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in it. It's about a superhero high school where you either are in the hero track or the sidekick track.
And, why is it called Spy High?
No, Sky High.
Oh, Sky High.
This one is Spy High. The other one... But that's what it makes me think of every time I hear this title, Spy High, is that it would be like something similar, like where it's a high school where they go and they learn about spy craft. But no, this is just three ordinary high school students. Who impressed somebody in what the FBI or whatever, good enough. I don't even know what organization the guy was with.
Arm Foldy Man.
Yes, our folding man. I'm going to fold my arms at you.
The entire movie. He's just like.
So we start off this movie.
Unless he's eating a Tootsie Pop or he's giving a high five to a teenager the same way I give a high five to my 5-year-old niece. Like. And then he's like, you want a high five? Okay, there you go. That's what it's like.
Yeah. I could not find anything.
Yeah, this movie doesn't exist.
I found like a couple other reviews about it. But like we start off. Okay, the only stuff that I found on this movie is like the trivia thing, which is not even for this movie, I don't think. Some of this stuff, if you go on IMDb, so the trivia thing seems to be right, because that's got Heather
Ashley,
fun
facts?
Chase, kind of. They're wrong, though, because one of them, the quote is right, because it's the girl, Kat, saying, "We'll be an urban legend."
That's not what she said.
Well, she says something like that when they're right before the laser light show that they give in the sky while they're hacking into a computer, which makes no sense. But one of the goofs says Jessica's gun falls out of the back of her dress and lands on the floor during the drug bust sequence, causing her to improvise by picking it up off the ground and waving it around towards the drug dealers. That is not this movie. I have no idea what that is.
What?
Crazy credits. Felix Armstrong, episodes 4-9, was once upon a time an actual WWF wrestler.
Who's the WWF wrestler?
Felix Armstrong.
Felix Armstrong? Who is that?
I don't know. And then for under connections, it says references Tales from the Crypt, 1989.
Well, this is definitely not 1989.
And, yeah, I don't think any of that really goes for this movie.
No.
Just the quote from the girl. I typed in Flex Armstrong, and all it gives me is Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters, a cartoon from Netflix. So there's nothing out there about this movie.
No, it's like it doesn't exist. It's like, no, you Google search it, and the second, it came out on Friday. Today is Tuesday, and the second search result is rifftracks.com. Like that's how nothing there is about this out there on the internet. It's crazy. Yeah. But Jeremy, you watched this 2 hours ago, 4 hours ago, which means you know more about it than I do. So why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Okay, so we start off the movie with our main character talking to a woman who is probably in universe, I'd say probably about 8 to 10 years older than him. He's supposed to be a high school student. Assuming a senior, maybe a junior at the youngest. I don't really know. They don't really get into it too much. And they're video chatting on her. On her e-machine that looks the ones that was like the clone of the original IMAX.
Max, yeah.
With the clear case around the CRT monitor and all that stuff, and they're video chatting back in the year 2000. Well, no, because they say they're on the. I think it's supposed to take place right before that because the bad guy does say that they're on the cusp of a new millennium. So it might be like 99.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes. But I looked at it. They said that this movie was released on December 30th, 2000. So it was at the very end of 2000. Okay. But if you look at it, it's definitely. Like,
it's still right around there, whatever it is.
It's definitely very, very 90s. You have the hair parts and you have just like it's 90s all around.
There's a scene where the three teenagers are riding their dirt bikes down a hill and they're like, oh, this is too much 80s for me. And they're like, this movie came out in 2000.
And Mike was like, no, it can't be.
But she talks about how she's going to send him this prototype of a new game that they're developing. And so she sends it to him while he's sleeping. He lets it download overnight. And, of course, it looks like The Matrix on the computer monitor. And
they have some awesome bandwidth for AOL dial-up, which is what they had to have been using. I mean, like, thank God no one had to use the phone all night long.
Yeah.
Or, like, ever, you know?
Yeah, it's...
People forget that. You had to, like, you had to give up access to your phone if you wanted to use the internet.
Oh, yeah, dial-up, baby. And now it's all cable.
It's all in our phones now.
It's all wireless 5G.
Yeah, it's all in our phones with cameras always connected. That we don't use to talk to each other. Oh, don't you know? Game Fargo said all of a sudden.
And, So he wakes up in the morning and he goes to run off to school. And his dog gives him his term paper, which he mentioned he was working on. And I thought this was interesting because you could clearly see the cover, the title page, I guess, for his term paper. And so I want to see if I could read it.
Jeremy cared more about this than I did because I didn't even think.
Well, I didn't care about it. But yeah. I was just curious about it. And so the title of his paper, and this kind of ties in almost to what we were already talking about with James Wen.
Almost.
Global warming, hot air, or ecological crisis?
That's it. I wonder if like ChatGPT wrote a paragraph in it because it was obviously written by ChatGPT in the year 2000. Wrote a paragraph about Elon Musk's space elevator, and then Dr. Sex had been like, "We're doomed. Go out to have." Find
have
someone to
and
bang
die.
And then die.
Have sex and die. Yep. It's a great, great piece of advice from the wonderful mind of James Wen there.
Get effed and die, literally.
Literally. So he runs off to school. He ends up being late because he stopped. Oh. Because he stopped by his bullies, who apparently had already graduated. Oh no, they were expelled. They were expelled. That's what he said.
They were hanging out
at the high school that they got kicked out of. And the one guy's like, oh, yeah, it's the one place my parole officer won't be able to find me.
Why are you hiding from your parole officer?
You shouldn't be hiding. That's how you go
That's
to jail if you're on parole.
Works. Also,
and then he just walks past them, and they're just like, "Yeah, whatever, nerd."
And then we never see him again.
No, we do. They show up again one other time. Yes.
Oh.
He goes. He gets into his classroom a couple minutes late.
This teacher,
I would have hated this teacher completely.
Teachers like this don't exist.
Yeah. So we see the classroom first, and his two friends that end up going with him later are
nerd and girl.
Yeah. And they're turning in their term papers, and our main kid runs in late, and the teacher's just like, "Oh, Mr. Anderson, you made it.
Mr. Anderson."
And he's like, "Here's my term paper." And he's like, "Oh, I don't think so, because I remember saying I would not accept any term papers that were late, and you are late." And he gives him a big fat F on his term paper for walking into the classroom like 4 minutes late.
That doesn't make any sense. No teacher would do that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, guys, let me tell you something. Teachers, like they have quotas like everybody else. And if they're just failing kids left and right because, like, oh, I have a power trip that they were obviously portraying this teacher as having a grudge against kids for no reason. Guess what? That means you're failing as an educator. I mean, you're not quite as bad as the teachers in Cypher in the Snow, but you're pretty bad. You know, at least you might be failing kids left and right for no reason, even though they very clearly did the work.
Yeah.
At least they're not stepping off the bus and falling over dead.
Right.
At least you have that going for you. But that is a low bar, sir.
It's a very low bar. But that's the last, I believe, we see the teacher. I don't remember seeing him again.
Yeah, I don't even think he's referenced again.
At all, no.
You can kiss that scholarship goodbye.
Yeah, because the girl wants to get her scholarship to MIT.
Yeah, when they were just like the only way you could ever afford to go to college is to get a scholarship. And it turns out that was actually true. But... maybe we all should have got those scholarships.
Yeah, maybe we should try a little bit harder. I don't know. So he talks to his two friends afterward, and he's like, "Hey, my friend sent me this prototype of a new computer game. You want to come over later and play it?" And basically any time that these three kids are together, Kat, or she prefers Catherine, I guess, but they all call her Kat anyway.
Catherine.
She's always laying it on super thick that she's got the hots for Andrew.
He's an idiot.
Yes. He's like, I got this woman that I'm talking to on the computer.
And she's very clearly like, I can't believe you actually like this other girl who's like, you know, we're teenagers, even though we're like 30. And they actually have a scene later, not to get ahead of it, but they actually have a scene later where Catherine and Valerie, they like have an argument or something. And Catherine's like, "Look, you're an older lady, you 25-year-old, and I'm only 22. And what's his name? Boy has a crush on you. You won't pay any attention to me." And so Valerie, starts giving Catherine, like, boy advice. So, and the advice that she's giving, like, is not necessarily helpful, but I think it was because this movie is obviously for kids, but it's advice that like you would give like little girls about like dealing with boys, and I'm not really sure if this is the avenue for that.
No, probably not.
I think. call me old fashioned, call me out of touch, call me sus and cringe, but I think that the appropriate person to be giving little girls advice about boys are their mothers. Not Spy High.
Not Spy High, yeah. Not exactly where you want to turn to for life advice. There is a line, too, I think on their second or third video conversation, where she calls boy handsome at the end of it. And one of the guys, I don't remember who it is, but they're just like, whoa, calm down there, Laterno. I thought that was a great line.
Yeah, she's dead now.
Yeah. this is like so far over. So they get the game. They play it on their NES controllers.
Yeah. So weird. They're playing this computer game. Like, isn't it a VR game? Isn't it supposed to be that?
Yeah, they're supposed to have like a virtual something input, and it's literally they have two NES controllers.
Yeah, two NES controllers on like this. So like the people who made this. Now you would think. Now you did some research, and you said that the kid boy was your age, or
yeah,
our age.
Yeah, he's in real life. The actor who plays him.
Okay,
is
so he would know
6 months older than me.
Wouldn't one of these actors say, "Look, this is not." This is not how this works.
Yeah.
These are very clearly NES controllers. Any person our age is going to see this and know that we're full of shit.
Two problems there. One, they're assuming that someone our age is going to watch that movie.
Okay.
And two, they're assuming that anybody's going to watch this movie.
We did.
Yes, but we only watched it because of Riff Tracks, like... I did not hunt this movie down and turn it on. This was not one of our weird YouTube finds that we sent to each other.
Not Haunted Ween or...
Not Haunted Ween or Dinosaur Island or any of that fun stuff.
I think we talk about those two movies more than we've talked about any Riff Tracks movie on the pod. Or like, or not talked about, but at least like referenced.
Yeah. Those had... I think Light Blast is the other one that we got to count in that, but that one counts now. So,
yeah, that counts as Riff Tracks now.
I was going to say something. Oh, I mentioned this to you earlier. I don't know if anybody listening remembers this or not, but in the in 1994, I want to say it was from 94 to about 2001, there was a block of programming that aired usually on Saturdays, at least in my market. It aired on Saturdays. It was all syndicated. Movies and shows like action based. This was where Hercules started, where they started with the movies and then they went on to the TV series and then the Xena series, and there was the Tech War movies. And
oh, was this on USA?
It was on a bunch, it was syndicated, so it was on a bunch of different networks, but it was called the Action Pack. There was a Bruce Campbell show called Jack of All Trades. There was another show called like Cleopatra 2025 or something like that. And this movie, while I was watching it, it felt like it belonged right in that block of programming. It would have fit perfectly in because it was the right time frame and it was the right quality and all that stuff. Yeah, Action Pack. Yeah, I used to watch that.
Yeah, Rivius, I think. Yeah, he says he remembers it.
Yeah, but this would have fit. This would have fit right in there, as just like a filler movie on an afternoon. So good. I'm not the only one who's old enough to remember that.
Citizen Yarn remembers it too.
Yeah,
I remember Tech War. Or at least I remember the commercials for it with Shatner.
Yeah, let's not get into Shatner. We don't need to Shatnerize anything right now. The game is not working. It always crashes at the same spot. So they decide that they're going to... I think Earth Final Conflict was a part of that, Rivus. I think so. That sounds familiar anyway. the game was crashing, so they're like, oh, let's hack into this military supercomputer to finish programming this game and send it back to Valerie. And so they I don't even
Let
know what they do.
Let me leave a video message for my older girlfriend.
Yeah, they send delayed video messages to each other.
That girl is not going to like it all. Like, ugh.
But they do this, and then we get some weird, like, laser light show, and they're, like, all looking out the window
never
watching
explained.
It. And they're just like, we're going to become urban legends. And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, like the one about the snake that went up the toilet and bit the guy in the butt. And,
that came up later, and I was just like, what are they talking about?
It doesn't even make any sense when they bring it up
later. They talked about this snake biting people in the butt for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was insane. I was like,
it ended up being Chekhov's butt bite.
Butt bite.
Don't bring up the butt bite unless you intend to use it.
Chekhov's dead dog. That's where you.
No.
What was the name of the dead horse in Never Ending Story?
Artax.
Artax. Yeah.
Yeah.
Artax! Anyway.
Jeez, Dave. So you made me lose my train of thought completely. They end up, I think they get chased by some bad guys. They realize that Valerie's in trouble, and they get on their BMX bikes, and I think they get chased down by somebody. It's the guy. It's the armed crossing man, because they're being chased by
his
car, but you don't see the driver until they get back to the house, and he's standing in the kitchen with a glass of milk. What is going on?
He's just standing with a glass of milk.
And so
I'm
going
to teach you karate.
He teaches the one kid karate. He's trying to get the other kid to like learn how to do pull-ups or something. It's just a whole lot
those
of nonsense.
Those pull-ups. Okay, so they didn't show. Okay, so they have like a training montage scene. And they have like boy and nerd like just like doing pull-ups. But they're very clearly not doing pull-ups. Like, I don't even, like you see, like, first of all, that bar that they have would not support, let alone the weight of one
of those people. Bending with them just standing there holding on to it.
And I was going like this. They either had somebody like down below them, like holding on to their legs and like pushing them up, kind of like what we would do in the army if somebody was doing pull-ups and like their arms got extended, they couldn't go. We would have to go up and like help them up.
Yeah.
So they could get like their pull-ups. But either someone was holding on to their legs the whole time, like pulling them up and down, or like, I don't know what else they were doing, but they definitely weren't doing real pull-ups.
No.
It was ridiculous. Like they weren't weren't exerting any energy. It was just like,
yeah. It's a good training program, I guess. I mean, you know. But then the kid's like, boy's like, hey, give us your toughest mission, and then we'll prove that we're ready. And they're like, all right, the drop-off. And there's some regular actual field agents that are like handing off a duffel bag to one another or something. And all of a sudden, here comes Dog. A Dog takes the duffel bag, and then it goes to Nerd. And then Nerd throws it to Girl, and then Girl throws it to Boy, and then the bullies show up and take the bag from Boy, and Boy turns around and runs away, and as he does that, the actual agents come in and arrest the bullies for stealing the duffel bag. And so the guy's like, oh, they failed. And then here comes Dog, and he gives the bag to Armfolded Man. And they're like, oh, we did it. Hooray. High five.
And then the dog becomes the leader of the team for the rest of the movie. Not kidding about that. The dog, like, does everything. like the doll. Sorry, I was just thinking about them going through the ductwork.
Oh God.
With the dog.
The Mission Impossible stuff. They do a lot of Mission Impossible stuff on their actual mission. And they decide that they have to steal the guy's key card, but they can't just steal it, because if they steal it, then they'll know. They'll have to change the security locks and the passwords and all that stuff. So they track the guy.
Okay, but why do they even need to do that when they have a virtual technology, virtual virtual reality technology that can like shapeshift their faces into the employees that work there?
Well, that's more of the Mission Impossible stuff. It's like the masks that they wear in Mission Impossible.
Okay, yeah, like in Mission. Yeah, okay, I get that.
Because they still have to be able to get in. They still have to use it to get in the room.
Well, they don't even need that. All they got to do is go up to the receptionist lady and be like, "Hey, we work here now," and be like,
They did explain it. They did explain the whole thing. They actually explained it, and I actually kind of remember what they said. It didn't all just flee.
Then you're better than me.
They have to get into the mainframe, which is a word you will absolutely get sick of hearing in the second half of this movie, because it's in like every other sentence.
It's like every other word.
And they have to get in, but the only way that you can get in, until they have this other way, and I think it's just to get logged into the mainframe itself, is to have one of two security cards that the main bad guy and then the nerdy anti-James Urbaniak doctor guy have the only two cards for that. And the doctor guy, his whole thing is every day for his lunch break, he goes and gets an ice cream cone, and then he plays on Now, this was the Bride of Pinbot. The table itself, but that was not actually what they were playing. Because I'm a nerd enough to know that that was not the right sound effects for that table. But
I can't believe you just admitted that.
Hey, I'm not trying to impress anybody here.
Hey, ever since you were a young boy, did you play the silver ball? From Soho down to Brighton, you must have played them all.
No. It's just like any time that they would play any video game on a TV, in a TV show or whatever, a lot of times they would use the sound effects from the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man. And I know that because that was one of the games that I got for that system. It was awful, but it was one of the few games I had. I had that. I had E.T. And so those games are like forever a part of my brain.
Ladybug and Q-Bert.
Nope, I didn't have those. I had Berserk, and I had Combat.
Sounds familiar.
Everybody had Combat. And I had this weird other like Pac-Man ripoff thing that was like a mouse and cats, and it was like a Coleco thing. You got the bone instead of a power-up, and you turned into a dog, and you could eat the cats. I don't know. It was a whole thing. But let's get off of
I had one like that called path. I had one like that a Pac-Man ripoff called Ladybug.
I have seen that game before, but I had E.T. and I was actually pretty good at it. I figured out how to like get past all the stuff without it glitching on me. But
falling in the hole.
Yeah, falling in the hole was easy to avoid once you knew how far out it actually went. Anyway, they decide that...
To get back to the thing.
The best way to copy the card is for one of the guys to hide inside the pinball machine and to have, Dog knock the scientist guy into it so they could pull the card down in the slot and the guy could copy it. And we got some very interesting events happening here where Boy is behind him and, he's holding his legs up, almost like he's wheelbarrowing him. You know, when you remember wheelbarrowing, Dave, where you'd have your two hands down on the ground and the guy would hide, stand behind you holding your legs and you'd have to, like, use your hands to run very quickly. Yeah, it was like that. And he was holding him up. And he ended up getting the highest score he's ever gotten on the pinball table. Yeah, and then we got the weird the weird ice cream store owner who was like, oh, I will name an ice cream flavor after you. You will be famous.
Okay, so
really weird accent for no reason.
Can we talk about, it's an ice cream, okay? Can we talk about how not James Urbaniak eats his ice cream? Because I feel like we need to address this. I feel like he grabs it. So sorry, Mom. Sorry, Twitch. You know what? I'm not even gonna like. It is so vulgar. I just decided I don't want that on the internet of me doing that to a Coke bottle.
It's probably a good idea, Dave.
Yeah,
the internet is forever.
No, it's just, I mean, that's not true. But
he just, like, he takes it.
It's for long enough. He basically, like, okay, all right, I'll just say it. He basically flatios his thing.
He throats it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, whoa. Like, and they even mention it in the riff. It's like, sir, this is very clearly a sex thing for you.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
There's a lot of interesting decisions in this movie.
Okay, so I think we need to get to, like, the actual Mission Impossible stuff. Like, okay, so they're in there. They're trying to, like, steal or whatever the hell it is that they're doing. I don't know. I also don't care. Yeah. They have
to stop the game from being uploaded to the internet so it would be available to everybody worldwide.
Yeah. So they're in now. You know the cliche of in spy movies how you're doing the Bruce Willis thing in Die Hard, and you're crawling through the ductwork, and everyone's like, ductwork is not that big. That's the cliche, that ductwork is not big enough for a human being to crawl through.
Yeah.
Okay. These ducts take that cliche and they're like, hold my beer. Because they are almost as big as my car.
They are
like this big.
They are the size of they're bigger than some tiny Japanese apartments that I've seen walkthroughs of.
Like you can see the dog is like walking through these ducts with plenty of space above his head and like either side, and the kid is just like crawling behind him. They clearly built these ducts big enough to like fit like the camera and the production equipment and all the lighting inside so that they could get like I guess that's one good thing about this movie is that it has decent production.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like crap. Like and just like so that they can get that shot of dog and boy coming right at them, like facing the camera, like front facing Homestar from today. And get another shot on the side, get there. I guess you wouldn't call that a profile shot. I guess you got like a side shot of them just like going by.
It's less of a large duct and more of a small hallway.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, even in the riff, Mike said it'd be like I had dorms in college that were smaller than these ducts.
Yeah,
they are ridiculously big.
Yes, like extremely ridiculous. And then we get you know, in Mission Impossible, where they're like, yes, an HVAC technician's dream. You're very right.
That
there.
Is true, yeah. Talk where, about our friend Gunsage, Jim.
Tom Cruise does the little thing down into the computer room. Like, he's in the harness, and he, like, falls. He, like, goes down, Yeah, dog does dog. That. Dog does that in this movie. And then somehow gets off his own harness.
The dog is like the Bears and Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This dog does not care.
No.
That is a deep pull from a short that we covered. Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where they're just being like, they got these bears and they brought
real
them
bears.
In and they
real
shot
bears.
Them. And they were just sitting there.
Yeah. It
that,
does lead
and the
to...
the dog acts like that.
It does lead to a
the dog
pretty,
just the dog is like bleh.
Probably my favorite scene in this whole movie. So we have Nerd Kid who's trying to distract the bad guy and get his password, and he's got like this electronic mask thing on that morphs his face to look like the not James Urbaniak.
But not James Urbaniak.
And he gets caught because it like malfunctions and the bad guy. You know, he sees him, and he takes him into the room with the mainframe while Dog is hanging there. They pull Dog up, and Dog, you can kind of see Dog's feet, like, back here. Somehow, bad guy doesn't see him because he has no situational awareness. I think
peripheral vision, yeah.
Peripheral vision, yeah, something like that. And so the dog, you just see the feet of the dog, like, dangling behind the guy. And the dog, like, and I know it was played for comedic value, and they did. I actually appreciated this scene. It worked well, where the dog was, like, slowly lowering because the guy couldn't hold him up. Boy couldn't hold him. And then he could lift it up as the guy turns his head, and then dog slowly starts coming down again. And then, he, you know, he finally sees him. But I appreciated that scene. I enjoyed it. I will say that much.
Okay.
Anyway, the two girls are captured.
Yeah.
This is when they're having their heart-to-heart conversation about how to get boys to like
you. They talk
you.
About boys.
And the bad guy, like, they're trying to pick the lock on the door to escape. And, like, as they open it, then the bad guy is just, like, standing there. The guy who's angry, would they say that he just found out that he's not Hugo Weaving?
Yeah.
And so he takes them out of there, and he's like, you need to give me your copy of the game or I'll kill the two girls. And she's like, Urban Legend! Remember the
I'm
Urban
sorry.
Legend?
About getting bit in the butt?
Yeah. And it makes no sense how
no,
he comes up with the way to stop the guy. And what he does also makes no sense, but... he ends up getting into the mainframe from this little like netbook he's wearing on his wrist, and he's just like, I have your access codes now, and he's like, oh, you have an offshore bank account with $1 billion in it. Gone. You have $2,600 million in transferable negotiable bonds. What do you think? Gone. I'll just delete the whole empire. And then the guy
gets...
You
don't just push delete. You don't just push delete and the money is gone. It's not how that works.
The nerd does say, donate it to, like, save the whales or whatever.
Okay, well, save the whales is going to get, like, $1 billion. Like, we're going to have to pay taxes on this. This is terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be awful for them.
We're going to have to explain where this came from, and we don't know.
Yeah.
What?
Now we're under investigation by the feds? What?
Yeah, well, oh, man, we're ruined. We're going to jail. Dang you, kids. Dang you, spy high.
We can talk about the
confrontation scene.
Yeah.
There are two things that struck me about this. And one we've kind of already talked about, we've teased, but the other thing is that I just remembered, like, okay, I have to bring this up, is that bad guy is threatening boy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if you don't give me what I want, and he grabs girl and pulls her up and be like, I'm going to kill girl. And girl is just like she just got pulled into the spotlight, into some argument with her by her dad. Like, she's just like not that she's in mortal danger.
She
of getting
wants to live
shot
with
by
me,
bad guy.
Cheryl.
She's just like, Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah,
like that was her demeanor, and I was just like,
yeah,
it's called acting. You know, okay, so girls is like, I don't care, shoot me. And so I think boy uploads the game to the mainframe or whatever, and he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna kill you now. And the dog, like, he goes to shoot boy, bad guy goes to shoot boy, pulls a trigger, and dog, like, leaps in front of boy and, like, just, like, falls back.
Takes,
like,
the bullet, yeah.
caught the bullet. And okay, so, and there's this big dramatic scene where, like, I did believe it. That would be like, they killed this dog.
I wasn't sure
the movie,
if it was a
yeah,
fake
that
out
movie
or a
killed
real
this
thing.
Dog. And, but the thing is, like, boy is holding him. And okay, so spoiler alert, the dog doesn't die.
Dog's fine.
But
he's
it's
got a bulletproof
it's like this
vest
long,
on.
Drawn out scene would be like, dog, you saved my life, dog. And he's holding the dog. Now, if you're holding the dog like that, you're going to know if the dog has been shot and has bled to death in your arms.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be surprised if he suddenly just like pops back to life. Because, like,
the dog will still be breathing.
Yes. And, yeah. So, and then be like, dog, you're alive. And girl says, the vest is bulletproof.
Yeah, like, you idiot.
No, but she says, like, the vest is bulletproof. And I'm like, you have no respect.
There's a whole
kids.
Scene where he's like, oh, sorry, dog, there's not a vest at your size. And he's like, just kidding. And he holds up this little tiny bulletproof vest that they then put on the dog for the rest of the movie.
No, so, but
it's a little ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And then Armfoldy Man shows up and he talks to
he's the only guy who shows up, too.
He shows up, he'd be like, you're under arrest. And then Kevin says, I guess I should have brought some cops with me. Oh, well. So, and then that's when they shoot dog. And then, like, something causes bad guy to go down. But the whole time he keeps his arm up. Like he knows that arm foldy man has to come up and, like, cuff him. So the actor... very foolishly believes that there's a competent editor and be like, okay, well, I have to have my arm up to get cuffed. Clearly, they're not going to show me with my arm up the entire time when I'm supposed to go down. But no, they left that whole take in there. It was like, yep. It was like truth or dare when they shot this scene that was very clearly supposed to be cut up, but it wasn't.
Yeah. That's Spy High in a nutshell.
That's Spy High. Oh, yeah. And they'll be like, oh, yeah. And then they get a message on be like, are you ready for another mission if you choose to accept it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they all do this thing where, like, boy puts his hand here and the girl puts her hand here and the nerd puts his hand here. And they just, like.
Oh, I checked out before that.
They just, like, stack fists.
Yes. Hackers for idiots. I like that. But, man, wow, I didn't think we would have that much to say about it, but like, guys, okay, so I'm not kidding when I say that, like that this movie's defining quality is just how lame it is. like even for, like, something that was released in, like, the year 2000, it's like, if you showed this to, I've got to be a little PC here. This is it is current year. It's like, we should really be making jokes about X. It's 2024. Shut up. But if you showed this to a child would say, do you think I'm dumb? like this was very clearly made for people that are dumb. and that you think they're dumb and they can't comprehend things, so you have to like play down to their level.
Yeah, like they Brian very said, clearly hackers for idiots.
They very clearly did not have a respect for their audience. In that they like the only way that they had to have thought that the people watching this were of stunted intelligence, let's say, you know, so like they had to have thought that their audience were idiots and that they couldn't understand anything.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. I get it. Kids are dumb, but they're not this dumb. Okay. They're really not. No. Give them some credit.
Yeah. This was clearly made for a certain audience in mind. But I will say this. I do think that in terms of our riff track sliding scale, I do think that this Ooh. Is going to kind of score a little bit higher.
Score high.
Yeah. Definitely more so than Terminus or The Little Mermaid. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, The Little Mermaid, definitely, because we had to cut out a lot of...
The Little Mermaid. Well, yeah, well, I mean...
We couldn't do all of our categories for The Little Mermaid, but it's definitely going to do better than,
but anyway,
than a lot of movies that we've done.
All right,
recently.
I guess we've reached that point where we score the movie.
Yeah. And
Jeremy has
not,
a list, because I don't have the list.
But, so we have 10 points of things to go through here, 10 categories. And the first nine
is
get
that
a,
many?
Yeah, the first nine get a score of 1 through 5, and we or sorry, 0.5, 0. I guess we do 0. Yeah, 0 through 5 on each category, and then the last one is a yes or no question, and it's almost always yes. But our first one is plot. What do we want to go for plot on this one?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, I mean, it was stupid. I mean, I think it was probably
stupid.
One of the lower things. I'm going to give it 2.
Me too.
I'm going to give it 2. Okay.
This one's going to be a little lower. Acting.
Oh, God.
Not very high.
Okay. But here's the thing. Is the actor's fault? That's the thing you got to consider. But also, I haven't seen anybody in any actors, any of these other actors do anything else.
The only person who's done anything else, and I don't even want to say of note, Valerie was in a David Dakota movie called Totem. But that's the only other thing anybody had done.
It seems to me that Valerie, they were kind of like the way her looked, they were going for Rose McGowan in Scream Hot, but like not quite pulling it off. Because like for my money, Rose McGowan in Scream like is like the epitome of 90s hot. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they went for it. They didn't get it. But I don't know. Acting. Let's just say 2. Because it wasn't that great, but it wasn't like terrible.
Something that's going to be a little bit worse is the dialogue.
Ooh, 1.
Yeah, the dialogue wasn't great, guys.
No, it was not. It was just like everything was like it was written to be consumed by a moron.
Yep. Cinematography. I don't really remember many like. Nice
well,
shots of anything.
I'll tell
we got
you what.
What did they say? The dental college campus.
Yes,
or
I will
whatever.
Give it a 3. I will give it a 3 just for all the effort they put into the vent shots. Because clearly someone cared a lot about those.
Yeah, they did. They did. Editing. Wasn't the best, but I don't remember. There wasn't any like
I don't remember
real glaring...
being exceptionally bad. I mean, like there was that guy that did have his hand up for like a long time, but that's really they just kind of screwed the actor on that.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Two?
Or maybe, yeah. Two. I mean, like, it wasn't exceptional, but.
No. Effects. We did have a few effect shots in this.
Yes, we did have. We had a light show for literally no reason.
The little virtual reality layout of the mainframe and the melty face switching thing wasn't awful. It reminded me of kind of early Star Trek TNG effects.
Yeah. I'll give it a 3.
3? 3's good. Sound and music. Nothing stuck with me on this at all.
Yeah.
It's all very generic
no,
90s.
Nothing stuck with me, but it's a very...
I do remember one 80s guitar sting that they mentioned.
Yeah. I don't know, too. I mean, like that's the go-to. Like, how many movies have we watched lately where we actually remember the music? Like, I think we don't remember the music more often than we do.
Yeah, unless it's, like, songs from Paradise Motel. but,
I was watching that the other day. It's so great.
Directing.
Oh.
I will say the director for this only did, I want to say it was 4 or 5 things. And one of them that he directed was an episode of America's Most Wanted.
Oh, geez. I don't know, man.
He directed, let's see, he did, where'd it go? Directed 6 things. Hell Squad, he was the second unit director. Phoenix the Warrior, Shock Cinema Volume 1, Task Force 2001, America's Most Wanted, and Dark Angel, which was a short that came out in 2021. Not a lot of credits under his belt as far as directing.
I'll be generous. I'll give it 3, just because, like...
Again, this is our sliding scale
wasn't
here, guys.
Bad. Like you look at something like Terminus... Or I would even go as far as like this wasn't, this didn't, I don't want to say I hated The Christmas Martian, but it definitely made me uncomfortable. This didn't make me all that uncomfortable. But it was better than that. So like, you know, it's a post '90s kid movie,
yeah.
And for what it is, like, you know, I think they pulled off what they were trying to pull off, even if it was dumb and stupid. Like, I think, you know, you can't really aim for what they were doing and hit anything else,
right?
So I'll give it 3. It's fine.
Okay, and our last scored category is whether or not the movie had a character or personality.
Okay, I thought about this, and considering what we've been giving a lot of 5s lately. We gave 5 to Paradise Motel.
Mm-hmm.
We gave 5 to the Little Mermaid.
Yep.
And if we had scored Grim Tracks, it definitely would have got a 5.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think that Spy High, it quite rises to the level of Paradise Motel and The Little Mermaid. I don't think it's quite there, but it's still really good, but not quite to that level. So I'm going to say it's a 4.
I'm good with the 4. And then, of course, the last question, did the riffs make it watchable or save the movie?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Absolutely.
This was, yes. 100%.
This is not one to like never watch again or anything like that. Like, it's not necessarily going to go into heavy rotation for me, but it's not something
that
I'm
on, yeah,
not going to ever
Twitch,
rewatch.
Yeah. If it's on Twitch, I won't turn it off.
Yeah.
Cuz like, yeah, it did bring me quite, I mean, you guys saw me just like crack up during the podcast just now. Everybody watching.
Yeah.
There are things that I just. Some of it's just so goofy. It did bring me a lot of happiness. So yeah, it was pretty good. Jeremy, yeah. Would you watch this movie unriffed?
You know, I might have if I had seen it before. I might have watched it. It's inoffensive enough, you know, where I'm not going to be like, oh, this is, I got to turn this off. I can't stand this. Yeah. If it would have come on a Saturday afternoon during the action pack thing, on one of the days where I was just sitting around doing nothing, I would have watched it. Or I at least would have had it on while I was doing something else in my room.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think if I was a little bit younger and a little more naive, you know, like when I was like into chicks like Valerie, I think I might have watched it just so I could kind of like, you know, get like a hint of like her almost cleavage right there. The very 90s, like, you know, like sort of low cut thing. I think, yeah, I would have been like, okay, you know, maybe I can eventually get like a shot at the top of them. So I might have watched it for that.
Watched it for that. Fair enough, you know.
I might, if I was like 19 and I'd seen boobs maybe 3 times.
Fair enough. Oh man. So yeah, this one definitely recommended.
Yeah.
To go pick up.
Get it. It's really good.
It was a lot of fun. So yeah, we definitely have to have an episode coming up where we talk about Attack of the Super Monsters for sure.
Yes, let's do that. Yeah. Let's do it on one of the weeks where we don't have a release.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of those. So.
Yeah. Yeah, like if it's just a sale weekend or we just get a short or something.
Yeah, we could be like, oh, let's do Attack of the Super Monsters. Okay. Give me an excuse to talk about that.
And you know, we're probably about a month-ish away from our Kickstarter announcement. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to learn what we're going to be able to experience this year.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be,
I don't know what to expect,
one show again.
I think, dude, and, I have no doubt it's going to be one show. I think it's going to be one show from here on out.
Yeah, and it's going to be something new. I think it's going to be something new. I don't think they're going to, if they're just doing one a year, I don't think we're going to get like a guy
Ghost
from Harlem
House
or Roller Gator.
The years of four live shows a year, that is in the past, and it's fine.
Yeah, oh yeah. It was fun while we had it, but
Rad
will be tough to beat. You are right.
That's correct.
Especially since, you know, for me personally, that was such a important movie in my childhood, oddly. And getting to go there for the first time into Nashville and be at the Bell Court for that movie was just perfect. But I hopefully will be back there again this year. Hopefully Dave will be able to join.
Yes, hopefully.
This time.
No promises, hopefully. If I got I was supposed to go last year, but instead I ended up buying a car, and I didn't think my presence would go unnoticed, but apparently it did.
It did.
Apparently it did. My absence was like, everyone was like, where? It's kind of like Poochie. Like when Dave's not in Nashville, everyone should ask, where's Dave? Yeah. Apparently that's a thing that happened, but I'm going to do my best to get
it. It'll be a good time. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us today. I have a field trip tomorrow morning. I have to be to work at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh,
I know. Shut up. You work at like 4. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah,
this is highly unusual. That's like 3 hours before the earliest I usually have to go in. Okay. Because we have an elementary school coming to watch a movie tomorrow. And I've got 288 kids coming in that I have to prepare for.
Don't their schools have those TVs with the seat belts on them that they can wheel in?
They just wheel in? Apparently not. Because they're not even watching like a first-run movie. Like they're watching Trolls Band Together, which was in theaters a couple months ago. So like it's on Blu-ray. Like you can watch it. You should just buy it.
Is it like those? Is like those kids from the reprobate high school where they like have them all in jail?
No, this is just the elementary school.
Oh, okay.
Nothing quite that sinister. It's just an elementary school. Okay. But yeah, I'm going to have to go in and get prepared for that, and I'm not looking forward to it. I'm more not looking forward to the aftermath of it, because it's in one of our big theaters, and there's going to be at least three people in there cleaning it out afterward. Because it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a huge mess. But so that's gonna wrap things up for us today. If you like what you heard, you know, you can always come check it out like Rivas did today. Come check us out on Twitch live while we're doing the show. You can follow us on Twitch. That's the best way for you to know when we're live, when we're doing a new episode. Obviously, we will post it on Twitter at the True Blue Riffcast account at TB Riffcast. But if you can support us or want to support us, you can either subscribe here on Twitch. You can, drop bits or cheer or whatever the heck it's called. We have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/TrueBlueRiffcast. It's $2 a month. And, I always post these videos on there, after we do it. And then you get access to that first there, before whenever they go up on wherever you find your favorite podcast, which Spotify, I just want to say something about this. We have, surprisingly, just on Spotify, it was like 62 followers of the podcast. I was very surprised
that
to see that.
That is surprising.
But every episode, I have a question on every episode that you can answer. You can leave feedback for each episode. It's basically just to get your thoughts on whatever riff we're talking about. But you can always go do that on Spotify. And then, of course, you can leave reviews or whatever on any other podcast platform. Apparently, we get reviews on Apple Podcasts, which, you know, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out how to see our stats on Apple Podcasts. I tried to log into my old Apple ID, and it won't let me. But I don't even remember when I created that thing. Back in the days of iTunes, I know is when I first created it. But that's all I got.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter, formerly known as X, at D Chadwick Author. And if you want to join the Discord, join my Discord. I have the link pinned at the top of my Twitter profile in like that post. So go on there, click on that. Arvias, if you want to do that, we'd love to have you there. And the True Blue Riffcast community is like there, like embedded like in the Dave Chadwick Discord. And whenever we go live, or like the days that we do go live, we'll like on Tuesdays, we'll like, if we're not going to do anything, we'll be like, hey, we're not doing it on there. And I'll always like at everyone on the day. It'll be like when like the show is like locked in, like, okay, we're recording it, at everyone, come see us, and you'll be able to get updates there.
Yep.
Like on the day of the podcast.
Or sometimes a few days before, we'll just be like, hey, we're definitely talking about this one that came out because it's wild. Or whatever. Yeah. But yeah.
Thank you, Rivius. Rivius, you have to tell us how to pronounce that.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us today. We should be back next Tuesday with another episode of the True Blue Riffcast.
All right. Rock till you die. Oh,